Shalom, and welcome to the Remnant Radio Hour, where we're living and learning a restoration lifestyle. This is Nitza Moshe, and tonight it is just me. We are done with our guests for the season, but we are going to do part one today, and probably we're planning on part two and maybe part three. We'll see how it goes. There's just lots and lots of information that we could cover, and we're going to discuss the total solar eclipse, the 2017 total solar eclipse, which is coming up. And just on that topic alone, there's so many things that we could delve into, but one of the things I want to delve into sooner or later in this topic and in and out is biblical Hebrew perspective of the heavens and the constellations and things like that. But at first, I just want to say shalom to Bonnie and Betty Jo, and all you ladies and gentlemen out there who are listening, thank you so much for your support. And first of all, while you're listening, I really encourage you to get some pen and paper. Now, if you would like my notes, they're not, I tried to put them in order, but there's just so much, and I've already spent like 12 hours putting a bunch of stuff together. I will send you my notes so that you can, it'll have links and different things like that in it, that you can go and explore information on your own and maybe give you more detailed information to some of the things that I'm going to mention. All you have to do is email me at Nitza, N-I-T-Z-A, at remnantremedy.net. And these shows are being recorded. And then after, it usually takes, you know, just a couple of days to 10 days for the shows to be recorded, and then they're sent to me, and my son edits them so that they're eligible or in the right condition to be put onto the archives. The archives are at remnantremedy.net/radio. And I'm reporting here in Independence, Oregon, which is just outside of Salem, Oregon. And we are right within this area right here is like the center point of the 2017 eclipse. I'm only about 55 miles from the beach. So it's going to start at the beach around Depot Bay, Lincoln City, and it's going to come right across my house. I'm just going to stand right here on the backside of my house, and I'm just going to watch it because I have a perfect view as long as the weather is okay. And unfortunately, just driving 55 miles away, you can, like, it's 103 out right now. It's been like 103 to 110 here in Oregon this week, which is, you know, not normal. A lot of people, probably majority of people here, do not have air conditioning. And I think this is kind of important to notice, because I think if you study the scriptures, there are times in the scriptures that are coming that the word talks about the days of scorching and the day of the Lord. And if we get into, you know, Bible studies, I'm just going to give you the tip of the iceberg because there's just so much. But bottom line is the day of the Lord is the light of the Lord. It is light and it can be fire. And the question is which side of that fire are you going to be on? Are you going to be protected or are you not? You know, just like right before the Exodus, when they left Egypt, those who had the lamb had the light. And I think in the day of the Lord, it's going to kind of be reversed. There's going to be, we're going to have a sense of protection in the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. But one of the problems and things that is going on right now is if you're at the beach, it can be totally cloudy. In fact, it can be totally sunny all around the beach, but exactly where you're sitting on the beach, there'll be like this haze cloud. It's really kind of weird. I've never been to a beach really like that. And I have lived overseas in Puerto Rico and Guam and Florida and, you know, been to California beaches when I lived there. So I've just never really quite seen that here in the Northwest. But I think it has to do with, you know, the colder, wetter climate. And so let's see, where can we start? There's so much. We're going to talk about, so I was going to tell you, sorry about that. There's just so much in my head spinning from all the notes. While you're waiting, one of the things that I think that you really would like to check out, and there's a lot of information, is go to a website called www.greatamericaneclipse.com. And you're going to find all kinds of information there. And one of the things that you're going to find is that you can click on your state, and there's going to be information on your state. So don't miss that. I know, you know, let me just share with you. Originally, when I heard about the eclipse, I thought, big deal, I don't care. I've been watching and studying things for like 30 years, and, you know, there's just always a lot of hype. You know, there was the Y2K and all these things going on. And even though the Father had shown me certain things, and I just, you know, it's like the, you know, the little boy calling wolf. It's always like you're sitting on the edge of your seat. You know that something can happen any minute. We're watching what's going on over in Israel on the Temple Mount. Things have just been really, really escalating, especially since our current president came into office. Things that are happening all around the country, the things that we see that are little tiny miniature characteristics of civil war between the left wing and the right wing, and Christians and Jews and believers. And of course, we see this worldwide. But originally, I thought, oh, it's just, you know, another day, no big deal. And it wasn't until I realized that this solar eclipse was happening on the Rosh Chodesh, the new moon time, which can be 1 to 2 solar days of the month, of the sixth month. And in Hebrew, the Jews call that the month of Elul. And if you've studied the patterns, you know, the things that happen that are not good happen, besides Tish B'Av, the temple, they start happening at the beginning of the sixth month, which begins the 40 days of awe that go up until the seventh month to Yom Teruah, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles. And if you watch the patterns and you watch, mark my word, unless something totally changes this year, as we continue forward here, we think that things have been escalated in Israel and around the world just in the last month or two. You wait and watch. Every year, wait and watch. I've been waiting and watching over 20 years, and I've been watching the patterns of what happens. And so as soon as I knew it was on the sixth month and the Hodesh of the sixth month, I knew, whoa, it's time to pay attention. But, you know, I still stuck it to the back of my head until I went online and I thought, okay, I'm going to order me some of those little eyeglasses that you wear that protect your eyes. And over and over and over again, if you're listening and if you see different websites, they're going to be telling you, don't look at this event with your bare eyes. Because you can burn your cornea, you can burn your eyes, and you might not, you know, think it's doing any damage, but it is. And the only time that I understand that you can actually look at it straight on with no glasses is for the 1 to 2 minutes or 30 seconds, whatever your time frame is when it's totally total. Okay. But even then I wouldn't advise it, because as soon as it moves off to the left or to the right, you're going to have the sun glare. So anyway, I went online. I was going to order a 12-pack. I thought I'd share it, you know. But I didn't. For some reason, I had to go off and do something and came back. And this was over 2 months ago. This was like 3 months ago. When I went back to my shopping cart, they were sold out. And I was like, whoa. Then the next thing I started noticing was all of these news reports over and over. And now, of course, they're going all across the nation. I know a young woman, well, a mother, her and her husband, they own a business in a place called Heppner here in Oregon. And I don't believe they're exactly in the totality path. They're outside of that. And understand, there's the path of totality where you're going to see the sun go completely dark. And then there is another path that's wider, where you're going to see a partial eclipse, depending on how far you are from the center of that path, okay? And they're already, you know, all the cities and towns are trying to figure out how they're going to handle taking care of the influx of the people. If you could or would imagine, I don't know if any of you have ever been to an Olympics, but you know, when people are going to host an Olympic in their city or town or country, they usually take at least 4 to 8 years to get ready for such an event. This is an event that I think is catching many people unawares. It hasn't happened, I believe, a total one for at least, I think, 99 years across the middle of this country. And so what's happening is they don't even really know what they're going to deal or not have to deal with. They're just trying to make estimates for a lot of things. They're looking at the corridors of the roads and the highways and how they're going to take care of extra, all these people, these influxes. In this area alone, they're expecting over 200,000 people. I can tell you that between Salem and Portland now, it's only an hour away, but sometimes it can take 3 hours to get there because of the traffic. Between my town, which is just west of Salem, there's only two bridges, okay, for many, many miles to get over, to get to I-5, to go north or south, or to get to the rest of the country. There is a footbridge that they have built, and they're going to use that for the emergency vehicles because they know that they're not going to be able to get through those bridges. This bridge, the main bridge, and one bridge is really very small. It's only two-way traffic. The main bridge, a month and a half ago or so, when we came out of Shabbat meeting, there was an accident on that bridge. It took us, and we only live 13 miles away, it took us over 4 hours to get across to come home. So imagine an extra 200,000 people, okay? One of the concerns is that if people go to the beach and it's foggy, they're going to start rushing and racing towards this town here, Independence, Monmouth, Salem. Then if people are rash in their decision making and, you know, people are, you know, it's kind of like a greedy thing to see the eclipse, they're anticipating a lot of accidents and problems. So, you know, check your local community. Check your state, check your town. And if you go to this website, Great American Eclipse, they have, for instance, let's go to Georgia. In Georgia, it's going to take and go across the northeastern part of Georgia. The totality, I believe you're going to be able to see it out of Atlanta, but it's not totality. Totality happens just a little bit north of Athens into Anderson, Greenville, Clayton. And so it's going to be coming down that way. And if you go to greatamericaneclipse.com, click on the state, and then go to Georgia, you're going to find information. And on one of these pages, they got so many pages, I couldn't keep up with them all. But one of them has a list where each city, county, community, I think mostly communities, are listing places where you can come to view. Like in this little town, the college, the whole stadium, the football stadium is hosting. Anyway, if you look on this website, you're going to be able to find, look to see if your city's on there, look to see if they've given information, check your chamber of commerce or your city hall, find out what's going on, and find out if you want to be around. Personally, I'm still praying. Should I head north to Montana and get the heck out, or should I hunker down? My family and my boys, of course, I have boys left at home, and my older girls are gone, but they're all ready to hunker down. So if you have preparedness skills, this would be the time to pay attention. Make sure you have plenty of water. Make sure you have plenty of food. And make sure you do that not on August 21st, because people are going to be coming in on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday before. The campgrounds are full in this area and anywhere along the path. Farmers are renting out their fields. And so back to the Olympic thing. Imagine the Olympics, an influx of people coming from Depot Beach, Salem, Oregon, all the way across the country, about 3,100 miles for at least about a 70 to 80 mile stretch of the totality, going all the way across the country and ending up around Charleston, South Carolina. Imagine that. So everybody north, everybody south, depending on where you're at, in our case, it's north, south, and east, are going to be wanting to come in to see this total eclipse. And again, I think it hasn't happened in 99 years. And one author of one of the articles I thought was kind of interesting, I took to heart, was they're talking about how phenomenal the event is. I don't know if it's phenomenal. I've only seen a partial eclipse when I was young in Puerto Rico, but, you know, the sky didn't go dark. But it supposedly will in the totality. But the thing is that it's a time or a moment. In our case, we're going to get up to 1 minute, 59 seconds of seeing what it's like when there's no sun. And we know that there's so many scriptures about the sun going dark. And there's in a sign of that happening before the day of the Lord. Now, studying the scriptures of what I've done, I think a lot of that actually has to do with nuclear fallout and or volcanic explosions and eruptions, and could be the debris that's covering the sky. But in either case, it's a time to see where it's going to be completely dark if you're in that path of totality. People who rent porta potties are sold out. They don't know where to go get more toilets. So this is all important. So whether you want to pay attention and you just want to treat it like a regular day, unless they're overestimating that there's a lot of people who don't care and don't want to see it, we're going to have some issues that we need to deal with. Where we can look at things that, you know, what is this telling us? Is this a sign of our time? Mark Biltz, if you'll go to YouTube, I've lost that somewhere in my notes, but if you go to Mark Biltz on YouTube, a couple of weeks ago, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, he did a YouTube video or teaching they put up on YouTube about the solar eclipse. I would encourage you to watch that. And he explains that the eclipse is coming over from Oregon over to South Carolina, and it centers right at St. Louis. And in 7 years, in not quite full seven, because this is August, but in 7 years, it's going to be coming back, and there's going to be a total eclipse making an X or a Tav over the country, and the center of it goes right over St. Louis. Now, what's really interesting about that is St. Louis, I've been there, I've studied and seen the Illuminati, the signs, you know, the arch is actually kind of a sign of one of the gates of heaven. There's a lot of Illuminati stuff around it. You can see the layout. It's a lot like Washington, D.C. and the Vatican. And it has to do with the ley lines across the world where the power and magnetism can increase. And you know, there's the phallic symbol. If you go from an aerial point of view, or you're looking below, you know, a lot like the National Washington National Monument. There's lots of things if you're just looking on how the world has been infiltrated with this. But along the Mississippi in the St. Louis area, what a lot of people don't know is there are mounds and kind of like mini pyramids that are covered. And that area was known and was called basically Little Egypt. And so there's a lot of interesting things about that, especially when you consider that the next eclipse that happens at a crisscross is going to be over northern Africa and Egypt, south of Israel, Arabia, Yemen, Somalia, right crosses right over the Red Sea. So my question is, is this a sign? We're told in the scriptures that the sun, the moon, and stars are and were put there for signs. Is there a sign for us that this eclipse is telling us that there's darkness coming over the land, especially if we don't repent? The reason I bring that up is Mark Biltz brought up a very interesting topic that I didn't know about, that before Jonah was called to go and preach to Nineveh to ask them to repent, there was a solar eclipse. And you can study, there's a lot of information back behind that. So, you know, the question is, well, the question was, or what they said was that basically if you study that, see, the ancient people knew that the sun, the moon, and the stars were signs. They understood. I mean, come on, think about it. The Bible, the Magi, they were following. They understood. They understood when that bright star shone that was Regulus, which is the king star, which was in Leo, which is really Leo the lion, Judah the lion. You know, if you do your studies, you'll see that the 12 tribes of Israel, they camped in an order around the Mishkan, and in the heavens, they were camped out in order and reflection like a mirror to the heavenly throne room. So there was an earthly throne in the Mishkan, there was a heavenly one, and the constellations matched, and there was a constellation for each tribe. And we're going to go a little more into that, where you can get that kind of information. And because these are things that we, through modern history, modern Christianity, we have just poo-pooed the idea that the stars have anything to do with us. And we've been taught that it's evil. Okay. And the thing is the more we study our scriptures, the more we study ancient Middle Eastern covenant and ideas and mindset, we understand in the Hebrew that these are signs. God was the creator. He made the rainbow, but look what they've done with the rainbow today. Okay. By the way, if you're ever looking at a rainbow and it only has six colors, it's probably the other side's rainbow flag. It's not God's, because Elohim's rainbow and frequencies and order and energy that are actually there that help us live and bring life to the fruits and plants and the people in the earth. There's seven colors. Of course, there's 7 days of completion. So anyway, let's go try to follow my notes here. So we have the total solar eclipse, excuse me, coming this August 21st. And then again, there's another one coming in March, I believe, or April 8th, 2024. So let's just ask a few questions. We're going to talk about some biblical, scientific, and news information. This eclipse, again, is going to go across the country on August 21st, which is really, I think it's only 17 days away. Also, if you go to thegreatamericaneclipse.com, they are now offering, I don't think it might not work on the day of the eclipse, but for you can get part of it for free and download it, but they have an app for your phone to show you, you know, basically where your location is, whether or not you're going to be able to locate. I'm sitting here looking at mine. I downloaded for free at first, and I don't plan on going anywhere, but I went ahead and paid the $2.99 to have it, even though I know that one of the concerns is Wi-Fi, internet may go down. There may be an influx. The authorities across the country are treating this as a disaster, as a possible disaster. So, you know, it could be nothing to no electricity. If it's 108 or 103, that may be a problem. You know, no water, etc. You know, just no internet. All the services kind of going down. So according to, this app, this tells me that there's 18 days until the eclipse. And then you can select your location. You got to hook your GPS up, which, you know, most people do willingly or unwillingly with their phones, but you can turn them off too. Anyway, you can use your current GPS location. Excuse me. And it gives me a map of where I am on the route of totality. And it says that my viewing time is 1:59 of totality. And it's going to start at 9:05 a.m. and then it will end at 10:17 a.m. Now, I'm not sure if that's just See, to me, I don't know if that is when it says it's just after. I mean, I think that's just when it's finishing the full coverage. I think there may be a longer time when it's actually going to continue to move through. However, if you're looking for that full minute to 2 minutes, depending on where you're at, could be 30 seconds. That's another thing. If you look at these maps on your state and your area, it will tell you. For instance, I'm looking here at Georgia. If you're in Anderson, it says you're going to have approximately 2 minutes and 30 seconds. So you're going to get to see it longer than I am. You know, if you're in Greenville, it's going to be like 2 minutes. If you're in Sumter, so I used to live in Sumter, South Carolina, 2 minute, 34 seconds. Anyway, you can look at those things and get that information. So the moon and the sun were made for a sign, or in Hebrew, it's called the Oat, which is interesting because that's the same Indian and root to when you write Hebrew letters, Oats, because they're a sign, okay? And the constellations are with that word, with Oats, or signs in the heavens. Should we just ignore the total eclipse, which will make an X or a Tav, the Hebrew letter denoting a sign or a goal, across America? Both eclipses occur, the one in August 21st and April 8th, 2024, on Rosh Chodesh. A solar eclipse occurs on Rosh Chodesh. And this one will occur on the Rosh Chodesh, or the head of the month of the sixth month on the Hebrew calendar. And it will be on the first month, the month of Nisan, right before Passover in 2024. So approximately, not quite 7 years later, but they're going to be there. Do these signs have anything to do with the Moedim, or the appointment set by Elohim? What is happening in your city, your county, especially if you're in the path of totality? Are you prepared, and are you prepared for the influx of people that are coming? Now, one thing I wanted to mention that just popped up on the last day or so was there right now, and I'm not sure where this goes across the country, but here in Oregon, which is where this is starting, which, by the way, Hawaii is only going to be in a path of partiality, because it starts north of them. So it hits the states, but, you know, totality hits the states in the continental. But Hawaii is only going to be in the path of seeing it partially. So, but what's in the sky right now? And I have a picture of this in my notes, but if you got Facebook, go to spaceweather.com and scroll down. You'll see this beautiful picture of this green meteorite hitting the beach at the rocks at Cannon Beach, which is, it's about 2 hours from me, because you have to go across and then up the beach. But what's interesting is, and look up in the sky, because these meteorites are going to be increasing between now, and they're supposed to peak, I believe, between the 11th and the 13th of this month, which is basically a week before the eclipse. Now, if we look at some of the biblical concepts, I'm just going to throw some out there because I'll give you some resources. I used to spend years of study on this, and so I haven't actually studied it for several years because I got busy with other things, and it's all coming back. It seems like all the things that I used to study and I stashed away, and I used to even have a website on biblical Hebrew astronomy. I had all of the Hebrew constellations, what they meant. I had an outline for coming out of Egypt curriculum study for homeschool families or Bible study groups. Because I wanted to teach my children only, or at least initially, the biblical Hebrew perspective of the constellations. And just to give you a kind of an idea of that is, most of us have all been taught the Greek or the perverted version of the constellations. And so we have Sagittarius, which is half horse and half man. But in the biblical perspective, it is Yeshua riding on a white horse with an arrow, okay, coming back for his people. And Perseus, or these Perseus meteor showers, come from, it is the third deacon, or the minor constellation, and the major constellation of Aries, the ram. And again, I'm just going to be throwing things out you because I don't know, you know, a lot of you may not have any training or research on this at all. So, you know, just bear with me. I'm just going to share bits and pieces. I don't have time to go into all the detail and all the study of how I got to these concepts. But the ram, of course, is, you know, Yeshua, and then there was the ram that's provided for Abraham and Isaac. But Perseus represents, in a Hebrew point of view, the one who comes to deliver, the bond breaker. And within that constellation, you have Cassiopeia, which is the enthroned woman, and you have Cetus, which is the serpent. And Perseus is shown as the one who's holding the serpent's head because he's coming to deliver his bride from the serpent. Now, by the time you get to Greek mythology and all the other mythologies that come along with the original gospel of the creation of the stars, it starts getting perverted. But if you will look at all these superhero movies and all this Greek mythology and look for the thread, look for the Hebrew original creator's story. Wonder Woman is, you know, the new Wonder Woman, I saw the movie, okay? She is a savior. All right, that's what she is in this movie. But who is our Savior? We know who our Savior is, right? So think about those things when you're trying to just throw the baby. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. There is a truth that's being taught. It's just perverted, okay? So Perseus is coming to deliver the bride. That is basically the story within that deacon. And I believe, and this is based on reading and research and different writings, a lot of research, lots and lots of research has gone into this, actually. You're not even going to believe it by the time I get to it. But Perseus and the constellations represents, like I said, the deliverer, okay? And we know that if this is a sign from these two solar eclipses, the fact that these are going to peak at a week before, which would be basically a Sabbath before or 7 years before, you know, look at all the concepts of seven. Is Perseus the deliverer, the bond breaker, who is in Greek the destroyer? Okay, it's like it gets perverted and chained to the big bad monster guy over there in the Greek world. But in the Hebrew world, in the light, in the world of light and not darkness, he's the deliverer. So my question is, when I look up and I see, oh, these beautiful meteorites are coming out of Perseus. Perseus is the one who breaks the bonds and delivers the bride, right? Is he pronouncing or proclaiming, like John the Baptist did, that the Messiah is coming? Coming to free the bride, coming to free his bride Israel and deliver her. And then 7 years later, you know, some suspect that this, now this is just a concept. I'm not making prophecy or, you know, setting dates here, but some believe that's possible that this first sweep through to make the Tav across this country is going to be a warning and may come with disaster. I've heard some, but I need to find the research if there's any more out there, that it's possible that it can cause seismic problems. We're looking at, I understand Krakatoa is active, but that's not on our continent. But we're looking at the magma situation there in Yellowstone National Park, which is, this is, you know, look at the path of this thing, okay? It's coming right across. Comes when it goes across St. Louis, you've got the fault going down there. So some suspect that it's possible that this will come with a disaster, a minor disaster, hopefully, and that if this country does not repent than the one that comes in 7 years, just shy of 7 years, will bring another one, which is going to cross right over that fault down the Mississippi River. That's one scenario. It could also be we are potentially looking at the temple being rebuilt. We're looking at a mass exodus building up. We've got people in Israel. We've got Jews who think that we're all going to convert to Judaism to move back there. We've got Jews talking to other Jews about Geula and the restoration, and that, you know, people are from the lost 10 tribes and whoever wants to join in the Torah. I mean, there's so much going on. So the question is Perseus making a proclamation from the heavens, or really it's God, is Elohim making a proclamation and sending this light down and these meteorites from that perspective of saying, hey, I'm proclaiming it's getting close, the Messiah is coming, there's going to be a solar eclipse to be a sign followed by another sign in less than 7 years. And so we're looking at those possibilities to spiritually and physically look at these. I believe, and one of the reasons I do is one of these very first books I read was like 20 something years ago, was a book by Ruth Beechick. Ruth is very popular or was amongst homeschoolers. She's written lots and lots of homeschool books and a method of homeschooling and teaching. She's here, I think she's originally from Seattle, and she majored in music and she loves the outdoors and just had a way of making things wonderful. And so she wrote this book called Adam and His Kin. And that was the first book that just had an inkling that the stars had something to do with our life. And that is what kind of, you know, put the little hook in my mouth to pay attention to that. And I believe through all the different studies that I'm going to share with you on some of these people in these writings is that originally, the stars in the heaven were the oat, the letters, the words written in the heavens. So that literally, if we understood the ancient Hebrew and the language, the original writing was in the heavens before it ever got put on paper and papyrus and sheet. Also, if you study some of the creation scientist information, they will say that there was a crystalline dome around us that protected us. And in a sense, that would magnify those letters. If you look at the prophecy, I believe that Abraham and Moses did for the 12 tribes, I'm going by memory here, you'll see they're not necessarily in order for the 12 tribes, but you see that he's making those blessings and he's doing them over for Benjamin. He mentions that Benjamin will crouch down between Judah and I believe it's Joseph. He might be using Ephraim. I can't remember there, but here's the deal. Judah is the constellation, right, of Leo. Taurus is the constellation or the bull, which was their ensign when they were camping in the desert, for Ephraim, Joseph, Manasseh. Father, one day when I was studying these things, I looked at the astronomical map of the constellations, and I just thought, that doesn't make sense. He crouches down between the shoulders of Taurus, which is Joseph, Ephraim, and Judah, Leo? Okay, so I look up in the heavens, I look at the map, and sure enough, what constellation stands between the shoulders? Now, the shoulders of Taurus in modern day is usually treated as a separate constellation called Pleiades. But Pleiades is the shoulder stars in Taurus, which represents, again, Joseph, Ephraim, Manasseh. Judah, in its shoulders, okay, it has, I'm not sure if Regulus is in the shoulder, but Regulus is there, which is the king star. And if you look between the two of them, you'll see Gemini, which is the twins in our thinking of modern day. But I believe that represents the two brothers and the two houses. The reunification of the two houses. And sure enough, what sits between the shoulders of those constellations is Benjamin, okay? Gemini. Is that right? Gemini, I think. Anyway, again, just things have been perverted and we've lost this. The sun can represent Elohim, the creator, okay? The moon can represent the bride, an ancient thinking and through some thought processes through the scriptures. The planet Jupiter, okay, is Yeshua the Messiah. And Venus is Nogah in Hebrew, which is the brilliant, beautiful one. And one of the things that I found was quite fascinating was that Jupiter, or Zadik, or the righteous one, Yeshua, he visits each house or each tribe, right, one time a year. So it takes him 12 years to go around to make a visitation to each one. Nogah, the bride, Venus, right, she, when the sun goes down, if you look at when the sun goes down in the west, you know, you're going to see usually the first star is Venus, which is Nogah, the brilliant one, represents the bride. She's following after the father or her bridegroom, okay? In the morning, when she comes up to proclaim that the son or the bridegroom is returning, is coming up. And so those are some of the things. Once you start learning those, it's kind of to me like when you're learning the Hebrew language, and especially when you're doing ancient Hebrew pictographs, and you start learning the meanings, then all of a sudden it makes everything look different. Well, when you start learning the Hebrew concept or the biblical concept or meanings of the stars and the heavens, then, oh my goodness, things start to open up. Then Father just starts showing you things. One of the reasons, besides that book that I read, like in the early 90s, Adam and His Kin by Ruth Beachey, in 2005, well, let me back up. That got me interested. So when I was teaching junior high through high school geography, I taught using a book written by Dr. James Kennedy. From many of you may have heard of him. He was a Presbyterian clergy pastor out of Coral Ridge Ministries in Florida. He wrote a book basically entitled The True Meaning of the Stars, and I'll give you the correct title when I get there. But I basically used that. What I didn't know at the time was that he was using that work off of Joseph Seiss and E.W. Bullinger. Most of you only know Bullinger from the Bullinger Bible Commentary. So that was my experience with scripture, because it goes into a lot of scripture in the constellations. 2005, after, you know, Father gives me a vision and we moved to the Northwest, I would call it a dream, except to me, I was awake and it was like an out-of-body experience. It was phenomenal. It was beautiful. And basically what was happening is I was looking up into the heavens. I saw the stars and my eyes were fixed on these two stars. And I was taking up, like I was just lifted up into the heavens. And the closer I got to the stars, and of course I could now identify them besides some bright light to being two planets. Okay. And at least I thought they were planets, because they didn't like brightly shine like stars. And then I saw one move in front of the other like an eclipse, and it made a conjunction. And I was like, oh, wow, you know. And then Father spoke to me and he said, this is a sign. I was like, oh. So I started researching. I didn't even know what a conjunction was then, okay? I had no idea. So I started reading the book of Jubilees. I started reading the book of Enoch. I started studying the heavens. I sat out every night with my children in Montana and we watched the constellations and how they came up. We watched where the moon came up because it said to watch and count and number your days. And so we were watching. You know, if you watch the moon enough, you can tell what day of the month it is, what month of the year it is by where it comes up. If you just sit and watch the stars and the constellations and the moon the way that David, a shepherd in the field, would have done. And you wouldn't need a Roman, Greco calendar or anything to tell you what time it was, because you were watching and counting and numbering your days the way the scripture tells you to. You wouldn't have to know all the pagan days of the week or the pagan days of the months. You would just know. And so that is where I started, basically the reason. And that just started, that's when I started building and doing the website and did all this, the stuff on the constellations. A book that I found back then was a book by a lady named Frances Rolleston. And she, I think, is extremely important. And I do want to get into the scriptures, but I think a lot of you, like a dozen of you, had emailed me and were interested in the notes. And so, especially on the heavenlies from a Hebrew perspective. So I want to make sure that I cover this, because this is a great place to start. And I have the actual book, but they also have the book now available online. I think it's very difficult to read online. But there was a lady in the 1800s who wrote a book. It was her lifetime work, basically. She worked a lifetime for this. And I want to make sure. Her name was Frances Rolleston, so I'm trying to find the right page. Okay. And the name of the book is called Maseroth. Now, if you remember in the book of Job, it talks about the Maseroth, right? The Maseroth is in the scriptures. And she spent an entire lifetime. She was a linguist. And she was a British lady and a scholar. I read her book. And it's kind of difficult to read because it's a compilation of notes in Hebrew. She has Hebrew related to the stars. She has it related to the constellations. She has all these verses in it. I mean, it's just so much information. She goes through the pagan stuff, shows how it could change from paganism, from its original to the Hebrew. It was amazing. And so then I come to find out that her work, and it wasn't published until about 2 years before she passed away, was her whole life. And she lived to be, like, I think it was 80, 88, something like that. What most people don't know is that Joseph Seiss, who wrote Gospel and the Stars, which was published in 1882, E.W. Bullinger, The Witness of the Stars, was published in 1893, and then Dr. James Kennedy's book, The Real Meaning of the Zodiac, was published in 1989, Ruth Beechick's book, Adam and His Kin, The Lost History of Their Lives and Times, which just reveals a little bit about that, was printed in 1990. The thing is these people, if you read Frances's work, you will see they used her notes, her studies, her lifetime of work on the study in the Hebrew concept and language of the constellation and the stars. And so you can get this book. You can either purchase it or you can read it online. Again, it's called Maseroth or the Constellations. And I will be sending those of you who asked me, I will send you this first part of my notes, and you can get the resource information off of it. So if you want the resource notes, it's nitza@remnantremedy.net. That'll give you a really good background if you're really interested in that and you want to reclaim what Father has done and is doing again. And, you know, as we recapture our language in Hebrew and we recapture the Hebrew mindset, we'll recapture the importance of these signs. And so there are lots of things in scripture that we need to think about. Like Perseus, the meteorites, is that proclaiming a coming? Or are we getting ready? Are we getting ready to be set up for an exodus? That would be one of my questions with what's going on. Is there a disaster coming? You know, we don't know. But I can tell you that if you read and research, and I have these notes and links, that the New York Times, or is it New York Post, they just published a thing that said, an article saying that the authorities are treating August solar eclipse, a first in 99 years, like it's the end of the world. Okay? There is an article called, you can go to this one, it's called the www.unsealed, like sealing a book, unsealed.org. And there's an article there called The Divine Message of the August Eclipse. It's very interesting that the August eclipse occurs exactly 33 days before the Revelation 12 sign, which you have to read in Revelations 12, where it talks about the woman giving birth and the crown. That actually all has to do with the constellations once you study and understand that. Is going to begin at the 33rd state, Oregon, and ends in South Carolina on the 33rd parallel. And we haven't had one in 99 years, and that's 3 times 33. Then they go on to say, is God communicating with us? One of the readers notices in Ezekiel 33. And so I encourage you to go read Ezekiel 33. It comes and occurs exactly 40 days from Yom Kippur, the Day of Judgment, the time or season that we're to be in Teshuvah, in a time and season of repentance before Sukkot. Anyway, there it goes on. The tribulation, it talks about, and it's a great sign, etc. It goes across 12 states. Get that one. 12 states, the 12 tribes of Israel, 12 states. It begins in Salem predominantly. As the first major city, it begins in Salem, Shalom. It goes across, I think it's Louis. St. Louis is a renowned warrior. And then it goes across Columbia, which is can be a goddess. And then ends over the South Carolina. So if, you know, I've gone through, I've got notes here on how each city that it's crossing, major city, has a meaning. And we'll hopefully talk about that next week. And I can see right now, I haven't even touched the tip of my notes, that we probably will finish this show up in part 3. So the next 2 weeks, we will cover this. We'll get more into the scriptures because I think reading the scriptures are important. I encourage you, go and do a word study on sun, S-U-N, just in English. I think there's like 160 scriptures in there. And that was one of the things I had also done that brought me around to a lot of this was I went through Genesis to Revelations and I studied and I had recorded every day and every month and every date in scripture, and I was watching and looking for patterns. Katrina happened, and the chaos that happened with Hurricane Katrina was new moon time. It was dark. It wasn't just dark because electricity went out. It was dark. Most major catastrophic events happen when the seismic electromagnetic energy is the most potent between the earth and the cosmos around it is at Rosh Chodesh, 1 or 2 days before and after, because depending on where you're at in the world, and during the full moon. So we've got Katrina during those times, and we've got the tsunami of 2000, the Asian tsunami, and we've got 9/11 happened I believe it was the 6 month before. You know, that, again, it was a time period when you're getting into, you're coming into those days between 5th and 6th months after the full moon, a fifth, I think. I've got it written down. But anyway, I paid attention to that. All these things happen. So watch your calendars. Check, and between now and next week, check out that website, greatamericaneclipse.com. Find out what's going on in your city. Make sure you don't wait more than a week this next week. Pray and think about, should you have extra food? Should you have extra water and toilet paper? Do you want to go out of the area of totality? Or, you know, what do you want to do? How are you going to be prepared? because it's possible, even if it's nothing catastrophic, the influx of the people, and we know that in America today, we do not have the quality of people and the honor and the respect so that when we have large crowds coming in, we have problems. Thank you all so much for listening. May your garments always be white and let your head lack no shimmin. Shalom.